from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Do we have Michael McHenry?
Michael's good to go.
All right. So we've been talking a lot of baseball today, obviously. A lot of news yesterday coming out of the Pirates. And joining us now is Michael McHenry, who obviously is a former player but also broadcasts games and does all kinds of analysis for Pittsburgh. What is it? Sportsnet Pittsburgh, right? Okay. That channel changes name so often, I always forget what it is. How you doing, Michael?
Good. We're like a nice buffet. We just kind of choose what we like year to year.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And so, I mean, whatever the name of your network is, no, I'm just teasing. It's Pittsburgh Sportsnet. Mike, yesterday, obviously, the Pirates made some news and kind of, almost like throwing really a bucket of cold water on people who, because it came out of nowhere, it was so shocking. And that would be that O'Neill Cruz is now the center fielder of the Pirates. What are your thoughts on that? And, of course, you played the game. How hard can it be to make a transition like that?
You know, I think the best way to think about it before I get into just my thoughts in it is you have a shortstop who's 6'7", and it's unprecedented. He's Kevin Durant playing shortstop. So, first off, kudos to him for doing all he did and giving all the effort he did. I don't think that's been said enough. I think he would have figured it out just because knowing him and knowing his resilience to it, I think it's tough. You know, if you look back, he was had a positive grade when it comes to outs above average before he hurt his ankle. I know there was a short stint. And then, you know, coming back from the injury, I don't think he ever got his footing, but it seemed like he's been getting his footing. He stole 15 bags in a row without getting caught. So now with that being said, I first think about the player. What did the player wanted to do? How did he respond? And everything that I understand is, you know, he was willing to do this. And that's the most important thing. You want the buy-in. And that also shows me who he is, that he wants to be a competitor. He wants to be a winner and he'll do whatever it takes. I do think it'll help his body. It'll save him. And I'm excited to watch this guy run around in the grass. I feel like he's a gazelle that's just been asking to run. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch him kind of put all this together. I don't think it's going to be as difficult as people think, because if you've watched him go back on a fly ball, he gets to places most guys don't on the shortstop side. The one thing I did talk to Brault about last night was why center field over left field. He's always seen the ball come off the bat on the left side. So I thought it was interesting. And Brault believes center field is a little bit easier to play than the other two. I played left and right. I didn't play any center. Obviously, I wasn't a speed demon. So yeah, it was cool to get that perspective from Brault, but at the same time, I always thought when I was on one side, it was easier, because when I went to the right side, it was different.
The time is 1:08, brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. We're here, we're talking to Michael McHenry. Mike, the question that I have asked, and actually we have Derek Sheldon on a little earlier, and he didn't really have a great answer. So I'm asking you, what if this doesn't work? Then what? What's next for him? What do you do with O'Neill Cruz? Because I said, can you always bring him back to the infield? And Shelton basically said no.
So reality of it is, why wouldn't it work? Is a better question. I think you're looking at shortstop as an unprecedented thing. So if it worked, incredible. But who do you have help develop him as a shortstop? I don't know a 6'7 shortstop that can run like a gazelle and hit a ball 9,000 feet. So that's a different thing. Now you put him in the outfield, you can look at Judge, you can look at Stanton, you can look at guys that have been in the outfield that this guy's a better athlete. And you can look at the transition from the dirt to grass and the grass to dirt. It's completely different. I mean, what Harper did was remarkable. But I think it's going to work out. I think it'll play. It may be like Tatis Jr., where he started in center and ended up in right. I could see O'Neill Cruz going to one of the corners. But I think that's the advantage we have with such an incredible athlete. And I do a bunch of USA events, and I have to evaluate talent at 18 years old. The best players in the country are all shortstops, and we end up picking a shortstop 99% of the time to play center or left, because you want to have the best athletes on the diamond at all costs, and those guys start to transition out, right? So I think the opportunity for him to grow and learn is going to be remarkable. Watching him run in the outfield is going to be fun. But, man, I cannot wait till he gets that first ball off the wall and Bo Jackson somebody.
Well, I think that's the – I mean, obviously watching him with his – you know, he's gonna be somebody probably that is going to rob some home runs, probably rob some extra base hit stuff. He's going to be somebody who probably does that just because of his length. But the question is always with any of these guys, is he going to make the routine plays all the time?
I mean, time will tell. Yeah. I think it takes time. You know, I always use John Wooden. I've read a bunch of his books, and his belief was you have to allow guys to go out and fail to ever learn exactly who they are. But biggest thing is you have to learn your capabilities. Most of the routine plays, the problem is because you don't understand that, hey, that's the play I struggle the most on because I think too much. And that's what it looks like with O'Neal Cruz. The more time he had, the worse it got. If he slid, grabbed a ball, turned around and threw, it was almost on the money every time and beautiful. So it's that exceptional play he's great at. It's like, how do you make that a little bit more you when it's a routine play? Tulowitzki, Barmas, they would attack, fill it with one hand and throw it on the run. So they're always moving. I think he's going to figure that out in the outfield if they give him time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's one question that will, you know, time will answer. The other ones are, can Isaiah Kiner-Falefa be an everyday shortstop? Can Nick Gonzalez continue to build on what he's done at second base? I mean, these are, and also what about Henry Davis behind the plate? These are things that the next month, you know, the Pirates would really like to have answers for all three, wouldn't they?
Yes and no. I mean, I'll start with Henry Davis. I mean, you have three guys. Bart's the only one without options, the only one that's going to get a pay raise next year. So he's on the team and he's not going anywhere. Delay is a question that they're going to have to answer because he's also going to be out of options. You have Indy Rodriguez, who somehow keeps getting forgot about. He's going to be floating in my mind. They're already having him play first base, getting some at-bats in the Bridge League. So I think you see that happening. Henry Davis played a little bit right field. If these guys all hit like they can, you're going to have all three of them some way, some shape or form rotating or in this lineup every day. But the only way we're going to know with Henry Davis is if he plays. He's shown success in the minor leagues like Buster Posey, like guys that have put up incredible careers. So I don't know. Time will tell once again with him. But you have three guys that could really, really help your ball club moving forward, and you're going to need three. And we may have the best three in baseball when it all comes together. And then – going up the middle, I go off IKF. He said he loves to roam. And I don't know if being a shortstop, since that's what he was originally, if that's his love, he's going to be great at it. Defensively, we got shored up the middle with him and Gonzalez as good as we possibly could. If Cruz is what we think we can be or he can be, then we may have the best center, the diamond in the National League Central. There's no question in my mind. Defensively.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, obviously, if he can play well, and then, of course, you got to get Cabrian Hayes, you know, healthy and back for next year. I mean, if you go into the offseason and you kind of know who your shortstop is, who your second baseman is, who your third baseman is, and then your outfield, you know, you figured something out with O'Neal Cruz and you obviously have Reynolds. I mean, there's not a whole lot of work that needs to be done in the offseason, is there?
No, it's kind of like when you think about 2012. So 2012, they didn't think they were going to get Russell Martin, but it was a no-brainer, right? A guy coming off a down year that wants to resurrect his career in a positive way to get that big contract. If they have that option at some of these positions and it enhances shortstop, let's say, well, IKF has been a utility guy and been incredible at it his entire career. So that's not a different move, and you're not hurting his feelings. There's no emotion behind it. It's just, hey, this makes the ball club better, and you know that's what he wants. They may go get a shortstop. And that's the coolest part about all of this is the way that they're designing this team right now is you have flexibility but they're shoring up positions that we haven't seen shored up. When Michael Taylor came in, we thought he was a center fielder. But then Jack Swinsey's playing center. Bay's playing center. He's playing center. We have all these things happening, and they were trying to figure it out. And I think they're shoring up some of their things. Maybe they need a little bit of time to see the numbers and see their ability. But I think that's the one assurance they're giving us is like, hey, this is what we're doing moving forward. Let's see, you know, if they give it a month, 2 months, I think it takes time.
Well, and I think another question that they've got to, I guess, figure out, would you offer Rowdy Tellez another contract for next year? I mean, has he shown you enough this year that you think that he could be your first baseman?
I love Rowdy. I really do. But if you – they didn't go after Santana last year, so I can't understand why they go back after Rowdy. So that would be a confusing move for me, especially when I don't know if he fits as well next year as he did this year. But they know more than I do a lot of times.
Right. I mean, again, because that's the one position where there's obviously a question. The other guy is, have you seen enough over the last 2 weeks to think that Brian De La Cruz has played himself into being on the team again next year?
Well, once again, I think you look at it as what's available, what's out there, what can we do? We have a deep, deep pitching core. In the minor leagues, we have very, very strong low-level minor leagues. Obviously, we fell when it comes to prospect status to 20, but it's because a lot of our big prospects are in the lower levels when it comes to offense. So they have a lot of assets that are kind of under the radar that they could trade and go get, you know, maybe a young first baseman or somebody from a rebuilding squad. I mean, the Orioles have a ton of hitters that maybe they can find a deal with them and they need some pitching. So it's going to be interesting to see how they put that all together. But once again, it's all about either you bet on the guy or you bet on what you think you're going to get from someone else. And I haven't seen them at first base. They didn't bet on Santana. So why would they bet on him, you know, Rowdy? You know, what they do with De La Cruz, I don't know. I mean, I think if they can find a better option, they're going to go out and get it.
Yeah, that's the thing. You got De La Cruz. They've got so many questions, but, you know, they still got 30 games this year left. And, you know, of course, I mean, theoretically, you want to go 30-0. But absent of that, you know, these are the things that you're trying to, you know, get out of these last 30 days, right, Mike? You want to find out before 2025 begins what you have so you can sort of hit the ground running next year.
Yeah, I think you look at you lay it out, right? You do a whiteboard and say, where can we shore up some things? So if like you everybody talks about first base, so I'm gonna use that as an example. If you have offense coming from other places that don't normally have that offense, and you can make up for the first baseman, it doesn't have to be an offensive minded first base, it'd be a defensive minded first baseman. I think it's one of the most important defensive places on the field that's not talked about because it touches the ball so much. So you kind of look at it as like, where do we need this? And then you say, we have a pitching staff that could be possibly the best in baseball next year. When you think about a three-headed monster plus Ortiz. And I'm going to say it's a four-headed monster because that guy's been unbelievable. We should talk about it way more. Ortiz. So you have four guys. Oviedo's coming back. He's been a sure thing in the bullpen. So worst case scenario, we have an absolute juggernaut psychopath in the bullpen. And then we have Harrington, Bubba Chandler, Burrows, and these guys that are not just like Bubba, especially the dude's stuff could play in the big leagues right now. And that's five guys with elite stuff in a certain way that are all possibly going to be top 30 pitchers. And we'll have two possibly in the top 10, maybe three.
Yeah.
Within a year, you're talking about a ridiculous rotation. So the defense behind it shores you up enough. Offense balanced out is going to change this team really, really fast. If it plays out the way it could.
Well, as I asked Derek Shelton, you know, if you look at what they have perhaps for next year, Oviedo, Jones, Skeens, Keller, Falter, Ortiz, perhaps Chandler, they're going to have a lot of different options to try and fill out that rotation, aren't they?
Yeah, not like normal options. You're talking about Chandler 99, Skeens 99. Jones 99, Oviedo was 97-98. Ortiz is 95-98. Keller is one of the best field pitchers in baseball, and I think he's going to be even better next year. And then you throw in Falter and what he's done this year, and if he becomes a swing guy like Ortiz did, I think his weapons grow too. So it's there's a lot of really cool things happening on the pitching side, and I'm excited about it, obviously, being a catcher. And that's why the catching situation is so important. If you can have an offensive-minded, a defensive-minded core of guys, you're going to have something that could really run well as an oiled machine. And Skeens being the leader of the pack, I think, could be really cool.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it could be a lot of fun watching this play out next year for sure. Michael, last one I have for you. Jared Jones on the mound tonight. He hasn't pitched in a while, obviously. You know, what do you want to see from him tonight?
I want to see him dominate the bottom of the zone and get his slider below the zone early in the game. I think that's really, especially on glove side. I think that's incredibly important to get him that extension. When he's there, everything's good. But coming off that lat injury, a lot of times you want to pull back. You almost want to pull that scap back so you don't have the same extension and the ball starts to be pushed kind of in the zone instead of his kind of rises up through the zone and he almost pushes it up. I don't want to see any of that. I want to see him have that whippy release with full extension and freedom. And that's what I'm looking for.
Mike, thank you as always. We'll do it again next week. And, I guess, have fun trying to analyze O'Neal Cruz as an outfielder.
I will, because he'll do a bunch of things we've never seen before, no matter what.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Yep. As Michael McHenry on Derek Shelton Show is brought to you by your local Parmore stores. Remember, if there's not a Parmore store near you now, there will be soon. Of course, we welcome Derek into the program. Hello, Derek. How are you doing today?
What's going on, Paul? How are you today?
I'm good, but you're going to be shocked, but I'm by myself because Joe has another day off.
I heard mini golf event. I don't even know how to comment on a mini golf event. I mean, golf event I get, but mini golf event I don't understand.
Well, again, if you're Joe, like you say, you know, I think what really happened is Joe inherited all of Cookie's vacation days as well, so he has twice as many as the rest of us.
Well, hey, if you can get it, good for him.
Yeah, I guess so. So you'll just have to deal with me today in city limits. I guess I had a number of people who've asked me, and you know, I guess they're all trying to be funny. So I'll start by saying this: is Rowdy Tellez going to be available out of the bullpen tonight after using him twice in the last 3 days or whatever?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that we had to do that. I mean, we went 130 games without having to use a position player. And then because of what's happened over the last couple of days with losing starters early and then losing a reliever with Stratton to an injury earlier the other day, at times, you know, there has to be some preservation of health for your bullpen.
Yeah, and I think what I like the most about it is Rowdy seemed to have fun out there. I mean, he kind of knew, I saw, you know, that some of his pitches were clocked at like 45, 47 miles an hour, but he was effective. But more importantly, I thought he had a great attitude. I thought he was a lot of fun, you know, to watch him out there pitch. I know it's not fun for you because it means the game's going sideways, but he seemed to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think Rowdy has fun doing just about everything he does. So, and you're right, that it's not fun for me. I really don't like pitching position players, but if it's a decision between, you know, saving a reliever to try to win a game the next night, then I'm definitely going to do that.
Yeah, and that's what actually City Limits and I were talking about that earlier, that basically you're trying to make sure that a game that goes sideways like that only affects one game and not like the next two because you've blown out your bullpen. Obviously, the big thing, Derek, is you guys are going to take a look at O'Neal Cruz in center field. Just kind of walk us through why you're doing that. I mean, obviously he's made some errors or whatever at short, but why you're doing that and what you hope to see over the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, I think number one, we know that O'Neal is a really elite athlete, and it's a situation where we kind of think it's best for him to move to center field, best for the Pirates. We have the ability with other people now to cover the shortstop position, but positionally, we just feel it's the best fit for O'Neal right now.
He's obviously, it's going to be a learning curve because he hasn't played much out there, clearly. Are you just going to play it by ear, sort of take it one day at a time just to see how it goes? Do you have kind of an idea of how you will evaluate it for the long term?
Well, I think for the long term, the evaluation will come just with him playing. It's one of the reasons that we thought it was important for him to get out there for the last month plus of the season to get game reps, because as we've talked about numerous times on this show, there's nothing better than game reps. There's going to be some growing pains. We realize that, but we also realize that he's a really good athlete. You know, he's been in the outfield a little bit before in the minor leagues, going back a couple years, but we just think he's talented enough that he's going to be able to make the transition.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously his athleticism, his length, all that other good stuff, his speed should play in the outfield. The other part of that is at shortstop. I mean, is Isaiah Kiner Falefa, IKF, is IKF, is he somebody you look at maybe to be your shortstop next year? Is that kind of what you're going to take a look at now over the next, 3 or 4 weeks with him?
Yeah, he's going to be our shortstop over the last month of the season. I mean, going into next year, we have the ability because IKF is still under contract. You know, I'm not ever going to say any position we're going to be solid in terms of what we're going to do next year. But he is going to play there the rest of the year. We know he has the ability to play there at a very high level, and I would say there's a good chance that next year that goes into it. But, you know, speculating on what goes through the offseason or what we do is too hard. But through the rest of the year, through 24, yeah, IKF's going to play short.
That's going to be, you know, I think what we are probably going to be watching the most is sort of some of these guys. I mean, you have to find out a lot about a lot of these guys. I mean, even a guy like Nick Gonzalez, you know, it seems like as a rookie, he's done some really good things, but he probably has more to go. Obviously, you brought up Henry Davis. I mean, are these next 30 days going to be sort of about trying to find out some more about, you know, some more about some of these players you have?
Well, yeah. I mean, the first and foremost, the next 30 days about winning as many games as possible. But in that time, we are also going to, you know, make sure that we're getting looks at people. I mean, Nick Gonzalez has done a good job since when he was up here before he had the injury. So, you know, he's continued to get a ton of reps at second. We will probably have to monitor his volume over the next week or so and go from there. But, you know, it's important to not only win games, but it's also important to make sure that you know, we have an idea of skill sets of different guys.
Shelty, Ben said on the 18th during his show here on The Fan that O'Neal was the shortstop and saw him there moving forward. I'm curious what's changed for you guys during that time frame and also the conversations that you've had with O'Neal about the change.
Well, number one, the conversations that I've had with O'Neal will stay between O'Neal and I in terms of, you know, what he's going to do, because we keep those conversations in-house. I think that's something that's very important. Like I said yesterday, I mean, he's disappointed. Anybody that plays shortstop wants to play shortstop, but O'Neal understands the situation and is a good teammate and has always been a good teammate. And I think to the first point there, Austin, you know, ongoing conversations happen, you know, and we want to make sure that we talk to the player and we have conversations internally before we ever talk about it publicly. We've been that way for the 5 years that we've been here. We will continue to communicate with the player first and foremost.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, the other part of that is I think that it's not necessarily that he can't move back to shortstop, right, if this doesn't work out. I mean, you guys are keeping an open mind on some level, correct?
I think right now we're looking at him as a center fielder. And, you know, I mean, if things change in the future, then we will cross that bridge when we get to it. But right now, we are looking at O'Neal as the center fielder.
Okay, the other guy that's sort of in a similar spot is Henry Davis. He's back. You got Joey Bart has been, I would say, far better than anyone could have hoped. So, I mean, he's obviously somebody that is in the mix to be the catcher next year. I mean, is Henry Davis, I guess, a guy you got to figure out what to do with him or how you're going to handle him? What, you know, how are you going to handle him this next month?
Yeah, Henry's going to catch. I mean, he's going to get reps. I mean, Yasmani Grandal has been very good for us over the last 2 months offensively and has caught an elite level the whole year. And I think to your first point, Paul, like Joey Bart has been a pleasant surprise. I mean, and I think what this shows is, you know, you can't put a timetable on prospects. Joey was a very high pick with the Giants and, you know, came to the big leagues and scuffled a little bit. He's come over here and been, you know, arguably one of our best hitters over the time he's been here. And a really important part of our lineup and, you know, someone that we value moving forward. In Henry's case, he's produced at every level in the minor leagues. You know, we're looking for that to translate to the major leagues. He's going to get an opportunity. You know, when Joey comes back, I think we'll cross that bridge when we get there in terms of what we're going to do. But until Joey comes back, well, Henry's going to get some looks.
I think that's what you have in him. The other thing is, and I know the September expanded rosters are not what they used to be, but you're able to bring up a couple of guys, right? From the minors, correct?
Yeah, we can bring up one position player and one pitcher.
Yeah.
So we'll get one on September 1st.
That's what I mean. So you've got some guys in the minors, so Jack Suwinski, Levier Peguero, you know, some of these guys that you probably, even Nick York, you probably need to figure out some things with those guys too. I mean, is that going to be a hard decision, figure out which one of those guys you're going to bring up, or you kind of have a plan?
Yeah, well, that's something we're still talking through. I mean, obviously, Kutch is going to come back at some point, too, so that adds back to our roster. And then, you know, the decision of when and if we get a look at different guys, it doesn't necessarily have to be September 1st. You know, it's a situation where Indianapolis plays until the middle of the month. I think it could be a situation where we let guys play down there and then make a decision later because we need to make sure that they get reps. But we do have some decisions to make. Over the course of the next, not only, it's not really the next 4 or 5 days, but it's over the course of, you know, the next 2 weeks. We also have Holderman, Majinski, Barucki down on rehab. So we're going to have some decisions to make, not only with guys that are prospects, but guys that, you know, have been part of our club this year.
Shelty, when we talked to you last week, Ke'Bryan Hayes was being looked at by doctors and you guys were getting a couple opinions on what's going on with his back injury. Have you learned anything new in the past week regarding Hayes, and could he potentially return this season?
Yeah, I think our hope is he returns this season. He still is having some more tests run. He's having some more tests run today, so we should have a better indicator of where we're at. But our hope is that Key is back on the field this season.
Derek, what do we call it? Trade acquisitions was Brian De La Cruz. Obviously got off to a rough start when he was here. But seems like he's swinging the bat a little bit better. Have you been a little bit more pleased with what you've seen from him recently?
Yeah, definitely pleased. I think he's got 8 or 9 RBIs in the last 5 or 6 games, more productive at bats. Looks like he's calmed down a little bit and not trying to do too much. You know, driving the ball to right field, which I think is important. You know, using the middle of the field where early on it was kind of more rotation off and not as effective swings, but he's done a much better job over the last probably 7 to 10 games.
Is he another player that you're kind of going to take this next month to try and figure out what you have in him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that we have under control for next year, and like you said, a guy we acquired at the deadline, so, you know, Dale's still going to be a guy that's going to be in our mix and get at bats.
Someone who seems to be kind of lost in the shuffle this year because he hasn't been able to pitch, Shelty, is Johan Oviedo. How's he progressing through the Tommy John surgery, and what is the potential timeline for him moving forward as we go into the fall?
Yeah, he's doing great. I mean, his rehab is going well. He's down in Bradenton at Pirate City. You know, our group down there has general touch-ins with him, but everything is progressing nicely. You know, he's a guy that is a part of our future through almost 180 innings last year, really good stuff. I mean, it's just going to solidify what we think is going to be a really good starting rotation next year. Now, obviously, coming off Tommy John, there will be, you know, limitations to some respect in terms of innings and volume, and we will figure out that when we get there. But, you know, we're excited to get him back and healthy. And it's, as everyone knows, when you have Tommy John, you just have to do the rehab and you have to spend the time working through the throwing program and working through the mound progression to get back into games.
Well, your rotation obviously is going to get a little bit of a boost tonight, right? You got Jared Jones back, and Destiny's Child, the premier scout in baseball, said that he saw him in Columbus, and he looks like he's back. So, what are your thoughts on getting Jared Jones back?
Yeah, I'm excited to get Jared back. I mean, you know, obviously the lat injury derailed what was really a good start to his rookie year. So the most important thing for us now is just continue to build his volume and have him finish strong. You know, I think like we've talked about in a case with Skeens and some other young players, finishing a major league season is something that's very important. So getting Jared back when we did, tonight on the mound, and then just building his volume from here on out is really important to us because he really had a good start to his rookie year.
And you look at with Jared Jones and Skeens, and you just talked about Oviedo, and you've got Bailey Falter, and you've got Ortiz, and you've got Mitch Keller. I mean, you're going to have a lot of options, aren't you, for your starting rotation next year?
Yeah, we are, and I think one of the most important, if not the most important thing, is quality starters and quality starter depth. And we feel that, you know, we're building that. We're going to, like Austin said, we're going to get Oviedo back. That's really important. So starter depth is something that's extremely valuable to us. And we feel like we have a good core there.
Nick Gonzalez also back at second base. The value that he brings to the team, I think we saw it earlier this season, Shelty, when he came up at one point, he was, I think he had 8 RBIs that were considered game-winning RBIs since he was first recalled. How important is he to the lineup coming back now, but also moving forward as somebody that you could potentially put in the middle of the order?
Yeah, I mean, very important because of what you highlighted there, the ability to drive in runs and produce runs. And that is a component to our lineup that is extremely important. Nick has shown the ability to do that in a short period of time in the big leagues, and it's important to get him back. It's important for him to finish the year strong, and he's a nice addition back to our lineup. I mean, he had good swings last night, which was good to see, and just hope for him to continue to build on that over the last month of the season.
The one position that, you know, there's probably a question for next year, and mostly because your guy, Rowdy Tellez, is a free agent, is at first base. Do you feel like you have internal options there? Is that something you're going to have to go look externally for? And obviously, I guess if Tellez is an option, that would be an internal option as well. Have you guys started to have conversations about first base yet?
No, we have not had any conversations about 2025 in terms of, you know, what we're going to do there. Rowdy's done a really nice job over the last, you know, since June 1st. I mean, he's been really productive and been a really good baseball player on both sides of the ball. So I think as we get into the offseason, you know, we'll explore our internal options, people we have, you know, what the market looks like, and then kind of go from there. But as of now, we have not started talking about that situation at all.
Shelty, do you think there's any chance that we could see Bubba Chandler or Braxton Ashcraft in the majors this year?
Yeah, I think it's a situation where as we get closer to the middle of the end of September, we'll decide what we're going to do with our younger top-end prospects.
The ability to be called up obviously is a big deal for minor leaguers or guys that, you know, it used to be you could reward guys because you could call up a bunch of guys, but now it's not, right? I mean, you basically are bringing somebody up that actually can add real value to the team.
Yeah, since they changed the rules, I mean, it used to be anybody that was on your 40-man roster could come to the big leagues. And, you know, I can remember when I first started coaching in the big leagues, you'd see teams with 39, 40 guys, you know, especially, you know, teams in September that were trying to get looks at guys or trying to match up. That can't happen anymore. They've changed the rules, so it's one. So you have to be a little more finite in terms of what you're doing, how you're doing it, you know, what you're adding. A little bit of it has to do with, because you can only add the one guy in September, if there's not at bats or not innings, you know, you almost may be in a situation where they're staying in AAA to make sure they get reps, because they would be in the big leagues and not getting reps because of their positional value or the position that someone else is playing there. So it definitely has changed over the course of how roster restrictions have come into play.
Yeah, I mean, and that goes with the whole, you know, having to use Rowdy to pitch the last few nights. I mean, if we got into September back in the day, you'd have a whole bunch of guys down there you could throw out there. But how is your bullpen positioned now for the next few nights?
It's in better situation than it was last night. I will say that. I mean, you know, it's getting better, and we have the off day on Thursday, so that helps. But you know, last night we were in a situation, and I was asked about it post game. I mean, in a deficit game, we basically had Herman and Feigl, and you know, you're not going to use Bednar, you're not going to use Chap. We had three guys that were down. You know, Heller, his volume had been high with multiple innings, and again, the game kind of got out of hand. And it's a situation at times where you have guys and they have to cover innings, and unfortunately, last night it didn't work out that well.
Yeah, I mean, and tonight you might have mentioned this earlier, but is there any restrictions on how many innings you're going to let Jared pitch?
Because I think we'll monitor him. He's had three starts in the minor leagues, so he will definitely be monitored. I don't know if we have a set limit in terms of innings, but we will definitely monitor how his stuff plays and how he looks.
All right, Derek. Well, thank you so much again for joining, and you know, always great stuff. And hopefully, you can next week have the opportunity to talk to Joe again.
Yeah, well, don't wish that upon me.
Yeah, of course. All right,
I'll talk to you guys. Have a good week.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Shelty.
We'll see you.
See ya.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.